Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. Book of Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read again the 11 down through verse number 17. I did not get through the breastplate of righteousness last week. I looked down and at the scene of time, and I saw, man, I got to get done here. So I still have about 3 pages of notes that I want to get through from last week, plus this week. I'm in no hurry to get through this because I want us to understand the armor a little bit differently. But I've also come to find out this is an armor that is God. This is God's armor. This is an armor that he wore. And this is an armor that he's presented to us so that we can put on ourselves and go out into this world and be able to withstand the attacks of the devil. But we also know that if we forget a piece of armor, we're going to be very vulnerable to the attacks of Satan, which is why God says here in verse number 11, Paul says actually, says verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, let me again emphasize here, Paul is not telling us to put on our neighbor's armor. He's not instructing me to say, Chad, I want you to put on Gary's armor, because if I was to put on Gary's armor, that's man-made. And because it's man-made, there's going to be some defects in that armor. So why Paul is emphasizing to us twice now to put on the whole armor of God. God's armor is perfectly made. It's designed to withstand all the attacks that Satan's going to throw at us. Matter of fact, the greatest thing about that armor is we're not required to walk in it. We're not required to go out and march in it and wear ourselves out physically. The Bible tells us here that we're just to stand. And the reason why Paul is saying this is because we have the greatest commander of all, who is God, his son Jesus Christ, who is out in front of us. Aren't you glad that we serve a leader today who doesn't stand behind us? Who doesn't stand in the middle of the crowd, but we have a leader today that we serve who takes on the whole attack of Satan. And that's a great place for all of us to be in. So let's continue reading again. We'll pick up in verse number 14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go through everything again this morning. Lord, again, as we go through your word, God, I pray that you would again speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you begin to work in my heart. And Lord, I pray that you begin to clear my mind of any negativity that has already happened. Lord, I pray that as Satan begins to try to attack each and every single one of us, that we would be able to withstand him and be able to tell him that he is defeated because we have put on your armor. So God, I pray this morning that you would again speak to hearts. We thank you for allowing us to meet once again today, and we ask it in your name. Amen. I'm just going to go over real briefly where I left off last week because we're talking about a battle that we're in. So sometimes we think that we are at war with each other, and unfortunately, we do get involved in warfares with one another. And when we get involved with warfares with one another, they need to be quenched immediately. I don't think it's something that should be ignored and put off into the future and try to work those things out. It's something that needs to be addressed immediately. You go and you take a look at what's happening in Ukraine. You have a president who is pleading to other nations that this war would come to a stop. Because the longer that this war goes on, the more devastation that begins to take place, more bombings that begin to go on to a city, and more killings will also take place as well. And so there's a reason why you want to address warfare, because you don't want any more bloodshed. And so we don't want to be at war with one another. And when we allow ourselves to be at war with one another, it's just another way that Satan is trying to destroy each and every single one of us. He's not trying to bring us together in unity. He's trying to disunify us as a group, as a body of believers. And he's not only attacking the church, but he's also attacking the homes as well. The breastplate of righteousness is entirely ours. It's something that the lost doesn't have the ability to put on, because they have yet to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not offered to them, but it is there for them if they are able to accept the salvation that God has offered to us. And so because of our salvation, I'm thankful today for my salvation. I'll never get tired of telling you the story of April the 25th of 1986 when Christ came into my heart. And some in here might not be able to tell their story because of this. They might not have come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you're saying, but Chad, we're all here this morning. We're all opening our word. Well, Jesus had 12 disciples, folks. He still had one who rejected. He still had one who accepted the ways of the world. Even though he was taught by him, he went a different way. A lot of us could be here this morning just to soothe our conscience. Or we're here this morning so that we don't get a phone call from pastor. It's out of obligation, and we're not doing it because we really want to. And so the breastplate of righteousness is entirely ours when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. It doesn't go to anyone else outside of his family. They have no right to it. That right only comes by making him the Lord of your life. If you want someone to die a quick death, where is the place that you're going to go at through a person? The quickest place that I can think of on the human body is to the heart. And that's what Satan is trying to do. He's wanting to attack our heart. The second place I would believe would be another quick way for somebody to die is to attack the lung system of the individual. And as you begin to attack the lungs of an individual, here's what's going to happen. Your oxygen is going to be cut off. And once your oxygen is cut off, your blood is going to stop flowing as well. And that's going to bring you to death as well. So now as we just quickly, did you like how I did that? Very fast. Quickly finished a breastplate of righteousness. We're going to move on to the next piece of armor that a lot of us might not put any thought into. And over the recent years, I put more thought into it. One is because I have seen my mom go through a very difficult thing with her feet, charcoal feet, and the deformation that takes place. The constant breaking of the bones and the shifting of the bones to where her feet are deformed. And now, not only seeing that, but I see that take place in my own brother's life who has the same disease. And now I have had something over the past 10 years, and that's, what do they call that? Is it neuropathy in my feet? And I have to wear special insoles on my feet so that my feet are not in pain when I wake up in the morning. And boy, those things are expensive. I can't believe it. I got some cheap shoes on this morning, but my inserts inside are $600. $300 a piece in each foot. So don't step on my feet. But anyway, we're going to take a look at this next piece of armor, and that is the shoes. Soldiers that are marching into battle want to have comfortable shoes. But I have worn some of those shoes, and I'm going to tell you this from firsthand experience, and Josh is in here this morning, a lot of those shoes aren't very comfortable. Matter of fact, they're very painful. And these soldiers, they got to put these shoes on, they got to do everything in them. I mean, they exercise in them. I mean, when we think about exercising, we're thinking about putting on our Nikes or our Adidas with very comfortable soles, and we're going to be in these for a long time. And soldiers, they don't have that privilege. They put on these boots and they go out there and they march and they march and they march, and their feet begin to be very hurtful. Blisters begin to form on their bodies and so forth. But soldiers, when they march in a battle, they want to have some comfortable shoes. Here's the problem if you don't have the proper shoes when you are in battle. If the feet are not taken care of and they get injured somehow, whether it be through stepping on something very sharp and it goes right through your foot and you're not able to walk, something like that, or a very uncomfortable blister, here's what happens. The battle you face at that point in time will be very short because you're not able to perform the duties that you need to perform by wearing the proper shoes. The Roman soldiers during Paul's time wore shoes called, I know I'm going to mess this word up. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's C-A-L-I-G-A-E. Can anybody pronounce it? See, I'm not alone. So I appreciate those things. I think it's called calje. These were heavily military sandals, half boots, half sandal. These sandals were the sign of an equipped soldier who was ready to go to war. And I was able to see a few of those shoes because they still make those in Israel. By the way, I have a pair of sandals that I got last time. And I tell you what, I've worn them 3 times. They're not comfortable shoes, not compared to what we wear today. So these shoes, they were a sign of, hey, I'm a soldier, I'm ready, and I'm ready to go out to war. And I'm ready not just to go out to war, but I'm ready to move on. There's something that our mind does not see because we are here in the States and we have everything so easy. The terrain that they are on is something that a lot of us folks are not able to walk on. And I'll be honest with you, I experienced some difficulty walking the roads in Jerusalem. I experienced some difficulty walking the roads as we're going through Megiddo. They're not very pleasant roads to be on. And so these soldiers, they were ready to move. The openness of the sandals, half boots, enabled the soldier to wear them all day. Here's what they could do in these boots. Sandals. They could march. They were able to work. They were able to stand in them for hours without any discomfort. It was common. Here's something else. It was common for the soldiers to walk about 25 miles a day. Imagine that. We get in our cars and we think nothing about the trip that's ahead of us. Because we can sit there and say, man, I got a 25-minute, maybe a 35-mile drive to work, and I'll be there in 10 minutes. They didn't have that privilege back in that day. And they had to get up, and at times they would march for 25 miles, going up hills, going down hills, going sideways to get to where they needed to go, walking over some treacherous rocks, and at the same time able to see some beauty as well. But they put in some hard work. They weren't lazy soldiers. They weren't soldiers that would just sit around and wait for something to happen. They were on guard. That's what soldiers do. And I know that firsthand by being associated with some police officers here in town and knowing some soldiers. You go through that training, and once you go through that training and you're made more aware of the threat and the harm that's around you, their senses are triggered more than ours. And so they're always looking for something around them. Every time that I go out to lunch or dinner with a friend of mine who's a police officer in town, he always takes the seat that is facing the door. And I asked him, I said, can I sit here? He says, no. I said, well, I like to see the door. He goes, well, you want to see the door so you can just see who's walking in. He goes, but I have a different agenda than you do. He goes, I want to watch the door because I want to see who's a threat when they walk in. And so now every time that I go out to eat, I try, and my wife knows this, I try to grab the door. And I want to see what's coming in, because I want to see who's a threat. If there's a big guy coming in, I'm going to size him up. Okay, where can I take him out? He's 7'4", he's 300 and some pounds, and I'm thinking I can take his knees out with one kick. You know, I'm sizing the guy up. You have a little short guy walking in, my daughter can handle him. No, that's not true. But these soldiers, they're constantly being aware of the situation that they're in. Their sandals also had thick, here's a word for you, hobnails. Sharp studs. Not only could they march in them, but they can also use their sandals, half boots, as a weapon while they're in warfare. See, they were very smart soldiers. Not only did they have a shield to protect them from the spears that would fall out of the sky from their enemy, and not only did they have their own spears, or maybe they might have had a javelin as well, but they also had their shoes as they're walking through the battlefields. They were able to distinguish more pain to their enemy. Imagine walking down. You know, I've heard stories of a lot of people, as you read the history book on warfare, where a lot of soldiers, as they're hit, would also play dead. Some would bury their heads so they couldn't be seen as soldiers would walk by, and they would lay there lifeless. Some would even grab the blood of another individual that had been shot or stabbed or killed, and they would grab their blood and they would wipe it all over their face and put some on their body to make it look as if they had been injured or killed themselves. And they would use that as a tactic as their enemy would come along, and they would rise up and they would stab them or shoot them to take their life. And these soldiers were aware of these things. And as they would walk through, as they're in battle, they were able to use their sharp studs that were on their feet, and they were able to stomp the neck or the face of their enemy to end their life. Very smart individuals. The gospel shoes of peace that we wear will allow us to walk where Jesus leads us. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. Go ahead and turn there if you would, please. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, it says this. It says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." The enemy might scatter barbed spikes, or they might scatter sharp stones to slow an army down. But in the same way, Satan scatters traps for us as we are trying to spread the gospel. You guys ever notice that? As we're going forth from here, as we have been taught, as we have been trained to give the gospel to our community, not just to our community, but to our co-workers, Satan's going to lay traps so that we are going to be diverted off course. And the reason why Satan does that is because Satan looks at us as an enemy. And Satan does not want us to give the gospel to any other individual, because he wants them under his control. And so he's going to spread some traps out. I can think of some traps right now. One is coming to my mind, and I'll give you the word. It's discouragement. Satan will send a trap of discouragement to you to get you to walk away and not spread the gospel where it needs to go. I'm going to be honest with you. I have been very discouraged as we have gone out, and there has been very little response in the last year. But I've also looked at it like this. God has blessed this church with other things because of the willingness of the people to go forth. We've seen souls saved. We've seen discipleship classes take place. We've seen new members come in. And that's not a result of man, but that's a result of God. But those discouragement comes because Satan doesn't want God's people to do God's will. By the way, I can be very cruel right now, and I can say there's a lot of God's people who aren't doing God's will by giving the gospel to this community. But I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to mention it. But he scatters those things for us so that the gospel doesn't get spread. But I was really encouraged yesterday because I'll be honest with you, I have not wanted to go to Place 35. I have not wanted to go to Northgate because I know of the problems that we can have. But God's been working on my heart. God's been working very hard that I could not get away from it. And the thought that's been in my mind for the last several months is a thought that came to me again yesterday morning, and that is this: Chad, those people need me just as much as you do. And those are the exact people that I would go to. So don't neglect them. And God blessed tremendously. People are normally in bed on Saturday mornings. We haven't had the response. They won't answer the door, but as people begin to go through these apartment complexes, doors were being opened. People were sitting outside and were able to engage in conversation. And that's amazing. But if we were to allow that trap of discouragement to set in our life, then Satan would be victorious over us. And here's what we can do with those shoes of the gospel peace that, as I just described, it has spikes in them and things like that. We can take those shoes and we can say, Satan, get out of here. And we can rub it in and just rub it in. Ha, 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 you have no victory over me because I serve a living God. That's what we need to do. And that's what I believe God brought me to yesterday, is just finally say, stop allowing Satan to discourage you and use the feet that I have given you and just stomp, stomp, stomp all over his neck. Folks, that's great. Boy, I woke up crabby. I'm getting excited. Man, God's good. The gospel of peace is our protection, reminding us that it is by grace that souls are saved. We can sidestep Satan's obstacles, which is what we do. We got to sidestep them, because if we don't sidestep them, then we're going to allow them to begin to cause harm to us. Well, what harm can Satan do? Well, as discouragement comes our way, we can say, you know what? This just isn't worth it, and I'm just going to give in to my discouragement. Satan, here you go. You're victorious over me. I'm not going to serve God, so have at it. No, we can sidestep those things, and that's what we're supposed to do. So we sidestep those obstacles by this verse. You ready for this verse? John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world. Exactly. He gave. He sent his only begotten Son for what? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that's great news. That's great news for when we have, I'm hoping it's not just young people, but I'm hoping it's their families that come in as well. And they're able to hear the gospel, and we're able to say, God loves you. The world doesn't love you, and you might be distracted, you might be discouraged by everything that's taken place, and you might be surrounded by a lot of hatred, a lot of evilness, but let me remind you, let me share you some good news. Jesus loves you. That's the gospel of peace that we're supposed to shed abroad. Fitting our feet with a readiness of the gospel of peace is described in 1 Peter chapter number 3. Go ahead and turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll read verse number 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, how are we to prepare our feet for the gospel of peace? First of all, we have to fit our feet. And how do we fit our feet? By getting ourselves into the Word of God. None of us want to go to the shoe store and just look at a pair of shoes and not try them on. Because if we don't try them on, they might not fit right. Now, I did this week, specifically for illustration on my own life. I needed a pair of shoes. I went to the store. I know my size. I walked in there. I looked at them. Oh, these things are pretty. I like the tread on. They're nice and thick. I like the color. They look like I can go out into the wilderness and do some hiking. Nobody know that I'm not a hiker. And I didn't try them on. And I took them out the next day. I put them on. And guess what began to form on my left pinky toe? A blister. Why? Because I didn't take the time to fit them. I got the right size, but every size fits differently. But the Word of God fits every single one of us. But sanctify the Lord God where? In your hearts. And then it doesn't stop there. As you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, it says this, and be ready always to give what? To give an answer. For to who? To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Just like we fit our feet with the daily shoes that we wear, so must we when it comes to the gospel of peace. And what a joy it can be to spread God's gospel to the world by the use of your feet today. Literally, 200 households out of this town of 70-some thousand people, 200 households got an invitation to come to church because about 8 or 9 people put their feet to work and begin to walk in our community and begin to say, hey, we love you and we want you to come to church for this reason, because we want you to know our Jesus. Folks, that's amazing. To be able to do such things. And you might say, well, I can't do those things. That's baloney. Because I walked out there with a brother who's got deformed feet, who's doing the very same thing that everybody else is doing. And I try to protect him as much as I can. I try to stay away from places that have steps and hills. But the guy's so stubborn and bullheaded, I don't know where he gets that from. But he does those things anyway. How beautiful are the feet. Amen. Sharing the gospel of salvation ultimately brings peace between God and man. Jesus doesn't desire for any to go to hell. And the great thing is God wants to use us, his people, to spread his word. How? By the use of our feet that we prepared with the gospel peace, because we fit them in the Word of God, to go out. Amen to that. If you're still with me this morning, say amen. The fourth piece of armor for defense that Paul wants us to put on and put to use is the shield of faith. Let's go ahead and turn back there. It says, verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith, what is it? And what is the benefit of wearing it? Something I begin to ask myself. The shield is a very important part of the armor. The purpose of this equipment that is used in battle is for what? It's for fending off the arrows that Satan is going to use towards you to get you to become totally defenseless, or maybe to become helpless in your life. And you and I, if we don't have that shield of faith, and as he throws those arrows, and by the way, it's not just arrows, he uses other methods as well. He'll throw spears, he'll throw swords. The interesting thing about a sword is usually an individual has to handle those things. My daughter, when she just got her second degree black belt a couple years ago, they presented her with a samurai sword. And usually those things are given to somebody who has showed that they're able to handle those things. And after the end of her, well, when she got her black belt as her second degree, after they presented her with a black belt, they gave her this samurai sword for her bravery. A lot of you folks don't know this, but when she was testing for her black belt at that time, she had a torn meniscus and a bad plica. Was it a bad plica? And she fought through that. And when you're doing those things, you have to do, and Tom knows, Tom's a black belt, you have to, oh, you're not? I tried to promote you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I just promoted you. And you know what it takes. You got to do a lot of jumps. You got to do certain kicks. And it can be very strenuous on your body. So they awarded her with that. But have you ever seen somebody use a samurai sword? Man, they got to be skilled to be able to handle that as they go into war. So we wear this to fend off the arrows, the spears, and the swords. The enemy has many ways that they try to use to defeat us. I want you to think about this. From last Sunday to this morning right now, how many arrows have you fended off from Satan? We've been attacked a lot, have we not? But here's the neat thing that we don't see because our eye doesn't see this. There have been more arrows and more spears and more swords thrown at us that we did not know of. Why? Because, Charlie, we have a God who's right here, right in front of us, standing. I look at it like this, just taking it all on for us. And it doesn't affect him. Okay, why doesn't it affect him? Because here in Ephesians chapter 6, what does Paul say? Put on the whole armor of God. This is God's armor. You can't tell me as we look at Scripture and as we've gone through this that God is not wearing this armor. I proved it to you back in Isaiah chapter 59 last week that Jesus himself puts on this armor. Why? Because he knows the enemy is trying to attack. By the way, Jesus isn't a leader who just says, do as I say, don't do as I do. You know, Jesus says, hey, put this on, and here's the reason, because I'm doing it as well. I know the benefit of it. And so I put on the shield of faith as well. Our shield of faith guards us against one of Satan's deadliest weapons. And I'm going to leave you with a cliffhanger because I just seen the time. And it's going to be a cliffhanger that's going to last for about 3 weeks. Because we just got one Sunday school next week. Then Brother Sturts will be here the following week. And so you're going to have 3 weeks of like a Batman. You know, back in the 50s. As the fights beginning to build up and all of a sudden they break. And, oh, join us next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. But here's what I'm going to get at. We use this shield of faith for this deadly weapon that Satan wants to attack. And you want to know what that is? It's doubt. Satan throws those fiery darts at us, and those things are doubt. I'm going to leave you with this statement because I'm going to give you some time. I have seen many people walk away from serving God because they begin to doubt the truth of the Word of God. I've had many phone calls, I kid you not. Chad, why do I feel this way? Why am I doing this? Why? And it all comes down to this. Because Satan's trying to get them to doubt God. I've heard many people begin to doubt their own salvation. Exactly. Satan is a liar. Exactly. And he uses doubt to get into our minds so that we would feel as if we're not worthy. And by the way, we're not worthy. But because of God's grace and mercy, we're able to serve him. But our doubt causes us to walk away. I kid you not, if doubt did not fill the mind of individuals this morning, we would probably be having 3 to 4 services on Sunday. I kid you not. I'm 47 years of age. I have known and seen many people walk through these doors, one after the other, here for a while and they leave. And it happens. Why does that happen? Because Satan creeps in, because God's people, listen here, God's people are refusing to put on the whole armor of God. And I've named some very important pieces of equipment, and they're all important, every single one of them. But to shield the faith, as we dive into this in the next couple of weeks, I really plan on getting through this today. But God just is having me talk with other things, about other things. But the shield of faith, if we don't wear it, those arrows, as they're shot, will begin to pierce our heart, begin to attack our mind, and then doubt sets in and we walk away. So let's keep this in our mind for the next several weeks. Don't let doubt take you away from God. And we'll share this here in a few weeks. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll give you some extra time. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that as you have demonstrated through your word, the importance of the whole armor of God, and it's important because you are wearing it, and you want us to put it on daily. Lord, we also know that we have a choice. We can either say, not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. But when we do that, we are allowing ourselves to come under attack from Satan. So God, I pray that every single one of us in here this morning will choose to put your armor on daily. We thank you today. We love you because you first loved us. In your name, amen.